It's just a test. I mean, we say it to the kids, we say it to ourselves, we even say it to the parents. But our bodies don't believe us. In April, the very air in the hallway feels different. It's thinner, tighter, more electric, and you can see it in the way a student taps their pencil until the lead snaps, or a way a colleague holds their coffee cup with both hands just to keep them steady. The invisible alarm is going off in every room, but here's the thing. You can't proctor your way out of a panic attack, and you can't data mine your way into a calm classroom. Today, we aren't talking about standards, benchmarks, or bubble sheets. We are talking about how to turn that alarm off so your students can actually breathe, and frankly, so can you.
From the AWB Studios, this is your weekly morning boost, brought to you by AWB Education. We are proud to be featured on the Forward Ed Network, advancing voices, shaping education. Let's get ready to boost your week.
Good morning, Boosters. Welcome to your morning boost. I'm your host, Adam Bush. And if you are feeling that April hum in your chest today, that low-grade vibration of anxiety that just seems to start the moment you pull into the parking lot, you are exactly where you need to be. We've spent the last few months talking about technology implementation, instructional pivots. But today we're going to shift our focus to atmospheric pressure. Seriously, in the K-12 world, April is the month of the testing tunnel. And for students, this is a season where they feel their entire worth is being distilled into a raw number. For staff, it's a season of high-stakes surveillance, where we feel our professional identity is on the line based on the performance of a room full of 11-year-olds, who, frankly, may or may not have even had breakfast. We often try to power through this stress. We think if we just work harder or drill more or stay more compliant, the anxiety will fade. But you can't power through a biological response. When the brain senses a threat, even a paper and pencil threat, it moves into a state of alarm. And when the brain is in alarm, it stops learning. Today, we're going to look at how to recognize test anxiety before it turns into a classroom meltdown. We're going to explore the architecture of calm and how to use environmental design to lower the collective cortisol in your classroom. And then finally, we're going to build a coping plan for the rest of the week that treats your students and yourself as human beings first and test takers second.
This segment of your Morning Boost is sponsored by Grundmeier Leader Services. Since 2013, GLS has been a trusted partner for school districts across the Midwest, specializing in executive recruitment and leadership support. They believe that great schools start with great leaders, and they are here to help you find a perfect fit for your district. Transform your school's future with the right leader at the helm. Visit GrundmeierLeaderSearch.com to learn more. Grundmeier Leader Services, transforming education one leader at a time.
Now let's talk about what's actually happening in your building right now. Anxiety is a shapeshifter. It rarely walks into the room and says, "Excuse me, I'm feeling overwhelmed by the evaluative nature of this assessment." Instead, it shows up as behavior. It's in your high flyers. It's the students who are usually your leaders. Sometimes testing anxiety often looks like brittle perfectionism. These are kids who start erasing so hard that they tear the paper. They ask 25 clarifying questions about a simple instruction. Their knuckles are white. They're terrified that one wrong bubble will erase their status as a good student. But in your students who struggle, anxiety looks very different. It looks like a protective defiance. It's the student who puts their head down before you even finish passing out the booklets. It's the kid who makes a joke or starts a conflict or asks to go to the bathroom for the fourth time. Why? Because it's socially safer to be the kid who got in trouble than the kid who couldn't do the work. This is why we have to stop viewing anxiety behaviors as compliance issues. When a student acts out in April, they maybe aren't trying to ruin your lesson or disrespect your authority. They might just be trying to survive an internal storm. Their amygdala has hijacked that prefrontal cortex. The gatekeeper of the brain is blocking the path to memory and the logic that they need. And let's be honest, this invisible alarm is ringing for us too. For staff, testing anxiety shows up as hypervigilance. We become obsessed with the clock. We stop laughing in the hallway because we feel like we should be serious right now. We start viewing our students as data risks rather than human learners. If you find yourself snapping at a colleague over a copier jam, or maybe feeling a sense of dread when you see an administrator in the hallway, that should be your internal alarm going off. The first step here is to move through this week as naming the alarm. When you see that tightness, say it aloud. My body is reacting to a high-pressure environment, and this is a normal response to an abnormal amount of stress. Now, once you recognize the alarm, we have to change the environment. We can't change the state mandate. We can't change the test questions, but we can change the vibe of the room. This is where we move into the environmental planning. Think of your classroom as a nervous system. If the environment is clinical, you know, bright fluorescent lights, absolute silence, rigid rows, it signals to the brain that we are in a state of high alert. To move into a state of flow, we need to provide sensory cues of safety. Now, standardized testing, there's a series of rigid, predictable patterns, and we know these. But to lower anxiety, we need to break those patterns up whenever the official clock isn't running. Maybe 5 minutes before the official script begins, play some low-frequency music. I mean, research suggests that music at approximately 60 beats per minute mimics the human heart rate when it's at rest. This is a biological anchor. It tells the students' bodies that we are not being chased, we're being safe. If your district requires you to cover your walls, like most of them are going to for these type of tests, try not to use harsh white paper if you can avoid it. If allowed, use soft blues or some greens. These colors are biologically linked to pro-social and calming responses. Even the way you dim your lights during a review session can signal to the brain that the threat level has been lowered. Now, anxiety is a physical energy, so think about it from this standpoint, too. If you force a child who is terrified to sit perfectly still for 2 hours, that energy is going to leak out in the form of leg shaking or pencil tapping, or maybe even eventually an emotional outburst. So plan for movement before the test. I heard of a middle school team that did a one-minute wall sit challenge before every testing session. Now, this might sound a little counterintuitive, but heavy work, you know, pushing against a wall or even just stretching, it does provide input that grounds the nervous system. It lets the body burn off the adrenaline so that the brain can actually focus. Now, another thing we want to think about here is really creating that testing ritual that really maybe only belongs to your room. Maybe it's a specific high five at the door. Maybe it's the mantra of the day that has nothing to do with test scores. One favorite one that I heard was the shredding of the stress. Have students write down one thing they're worried about on a piece of scrap paper and then physically rip it up and throw it away before the test even starts. It's this symbolic pattern break that gives them a sense of agency in a week where they might feel like they have none.
You're doing incredible work in your classroom and community. Isn't it time the world heard about it? Welcome to The Commons, a dedicated podcast channel on the Forward Ed Network, built specifically for educational professionals like you. We provide the platform at no cost. You bring the ideas and the passion. We provide the reach to share them with the field. Ready to start your broadcast? Ready to share your knowledge with others? Email us at admin@forwardednetwork.com. and join the conversation today.
Moving through anxiety requires a predictable path. If the test is the unknown, your coping plan is the map. This applies to your students, but it also applies to you. For students, we spend weeks teaching them test strategies, like process of elimination. But do we teach them stress-taking strategies? Give them the tools that they can use during the test when they feel that hijack coming. Maybe start with square breathing. It's a simple one. It's invisible, and it works. Four counts in, four counts out. Four counts in, four counts out. It resets the vagus nerve, and it really helps students get that grounding feeling. Another one is the 5-4-3-2-1. If a student freezes up on a hard question, teach them to stop, look at their hands, and find five things they can see in the room, four things they can touch, three things they can hear, two things they can smell, and maybe one thing they could taste. This pulls the brain out of the future dread, what happens if I fail, and gets it back into the present reality that I'm sitting in a chair and I'm safe. Now, for staff, you can't be a human anchor for your students if you are drifting out to sea, if you want to take that analogy. But proper planning for this week means that we're acknowledging that you will be emotionally empty by the time 3:30 p.m. rolls along. So one that I would like to recommend is that parking lot purge. Before you drive home, sit in silence for a few minutes. Don't check your phone. Don't look at your email. Just let the proctor version of yourself dissolve back into the human version of yourself. If you're a leader, protect your teachers this week. Cancel the unnecessary staff meetings. Don't send the long action item email on a Tuesday night of testing week. Your job here is to be the shock absorber for the building stress. Don't forget that part. Now, the most powerful way to kill testing anxiety is to detach a child's worth from their performance. Tell them, I don't care if every bubble is right. I care if you stayed present in your own mind. I care that you didn't give up on yourself. When we celebrate the stamina of the soul rather than the accuracy of the data, the test loses its ability to harm. As you head into this week, as you walk back into that April testing tunnel tomorrow morning, I want you to take one more deep, intentional breath. You are a professional. Yes, you have organized the bins, you have double-checked the rosters, and you have followed every security protocol to the letter. But more importantly, you are a human anchor. In a world that is currently obsessed with outputs and metrics, you are the person providing the input of safety. When the pressure gets high, your students aren't looking at the screen or the booklet for help. They're looking at us. They're looking to see if we are panicked. If you are breathing, they can breathe. If you are steady, they can be steady. Reclaim the human middle this week. Recognize the alarm and change the vibe. You got this, boosters. You can follow your plan. The test it's just a snapshot. It's a single grain of sand in the story of a child's life. But the safety and dignity that you provide them during this testing tunnel, that's a legacy that lasts forever. Thank you for being part of the work, and thank you for spending your time with us today on Your Morning Boost. We appreciate everything that you do for your students and for your community. We will talk with you again next week.
That concludes another episode of Your Morning Boost, an AWB education production. To find more incredible content, be sure to check out other amazing education shows on the Forward Ed Network, where they are truly advancing voices and shaping education. Join us again next week. Until then, keep boosting your impact.